From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, March 4th. I'm Abby Larico. Many Black pediatric patients believed to have neurological conditions are going untreated.
Some of it was in the insurance denials, which were much higher in Black patients. But that didn't explain all of the difference.
A co-author of a Washington University School of Medicine study highlighting the barriers to genetic testing on how to get kids the access they need. That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. Polls open at 6 a.m. in the primary for St. Louis mayor, comptroller, and in two aldermanic wards. Mayor Tashara Jones faces three challengers, while comptroller Darlene Green has two opponents. Residents of the 3rd and 11th wards will also choose the candidates for the general election. This election uses approval voting, which means people can choose as many candidates as they want to move on to the general election. Polls close at 7 p.m. Anyone who's in line at that time can vote. You can find more information about the candidates at our voter's guide at stlpr.org. And if you're heading to the polls or anywhere else around St. Louis today, you may have to navigate some rain and high winds. After a round of showers this morning, we'll likely see more rain this afternoon, along with some thunderstorms. And we could also feel some wind gusts of up to 60 miles an hour. The National Weather Service says there is a slight risk of severe weather this evening, with the main threats being hail and possibly a tornado. A Missouri House bill seeking to prohibit state funds from going to any diversity, equity, and inclusion programs or initiatives was heard in a Senate committee yesterday. The bill's sponsor, Neosho Republican Representative Ben Baker, contends that DEI initiatives actually create divisiveness.
The bottom line is we as a state should not be allowing propaganda to creep into the workplace that pushes preferential and unfair treatment of our state workers.
Baker added that although Governor Mike Kehoe recently signed an executive order with similar language, Kehoe has reiterated that he thinks the state also needs a law. Kehoe's order says no state funding can be provided specifically to state agencies with policies or programs that support DEI. Baker's bill more broadly limits any state spending. A law firm is helping St. Louis couples prepare for the possibility of the U.S. Supreme Court overturning same-sex marriage. As STLPR's Chad Davis reports, lawyers are helping same-sex couples establish medical power of attorney documents for free.
Marler Law Partners is hosting the event. The legal document allows a person to make healthcare decisions for someone who can't make their own. Sarah Marler is founder of Marler Law Partners. She says establishing a medical power of attorney is a stopgap to ensure people are represented by their loved ones.
It's important to have that in place, I think, to be able to have someone who is got a nominated person who is their healthcare power of attorney, who is making decisions for them so that it is not just their next of kin.
The event is at 6 p.m. Wednesday at St. Paul United Church of Christ. Marler says other events may follow. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
A federal judge in Chicago is throwing out 4 out of 9 bribery convictions in a case involving a group of former Commonwealth Edison executives and lobbyists. The 2023 ComEd convictions centered around efforts to bribe former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan to advance company legislation in Springfield. The convictions that Judge Manish Shah vacated centered on a federal bribery law that the U.S. Supreme Court narrowed last year. Shaw gave prosecutors the option of retrying the group with those charges, but it's not clear whether they will do so. But the judge left intact a conspiracy conviction. Also still standing are 4 other convictions related to the Federal Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, but those could be challenged because President Trump's administration called for a review of all existing cases tied to it. A German copper manufacturer in the Metro East has started a $500 million expansion project. Wieland Manufacturing expects their modernization effort of its East Alton plant will support the local economy as well. At a press conference yesterday, East Alton Mayor Darren Carlton said he agrees.
This is an important day and another bright chapter in the history of East Alton. This modernization of Wieland's East Alton facility is a step forward for economic development.
This project will not create any new permanent jobs, but it will maintain Velan's 800 employees at the facility. The German company produces copper and copper alloys that are used in electric vehicles, charging stations, and a variety of other products. The project is expected to be completed in the next 3 years. Engineers at Washington University have built a sensor that can detect the presence of bird flu particles within minutes. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports the researchers say the device could keep farmers from having to cull their flocks when they detect the contagious virus.
U.S. farmers have had to kill millions of birds that have tested positive for avian flu. WashU engineers last year began developing a machine that uses so-called wet cyclone technology. The mini fridge-sized machine sucks in air, spins it in liquid to trap particles, and sends an alert when it detects the flu. Engineering professor Rajan Chakrabarty says the machine is meant to be a first line of defense.
You get a rough estimate of if at all there is any virus present, and if yes, that particular area where this virus has been detected can be protected, can be just blocked off.
Bird flu has also been found in cattle and, in some rare cases, humans. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The U.S. women's national soccer team is coming to St. Louis this summer. The team is facing off against China at Energizer Park in a June 3rd exhibition match. The St. Louis match will also be a homecoming for former U.S. captain Becky Sauerbrunn, as she will be featured in a pregame celebration. The St. Louis native announced her retirement from the sport in December. She played 219 games for the U.S., including 3 Olympic Games and 3 Women's World Cups. The U.S. women's national team last played in St. Louis in 2023 at what was then City Park. Tickets will be available first for pre-sale starting this morning at 10 a.m., then open to the general public on Friday. Black pediatric patients believed to have neurological conditions are falling through the cracks. A new study finds that just half of Black patients completed the necessary genetic tests for diagnosis and treatment. St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson spoke with Dr. Christina Gurnett, co-author of the Washington University School of Medicine study highlighting the barriers that Black families face accessing care. Gurnett says several aspects of the study surprised her.
We were surprised overall that this really necessary genetic test, which opens up the possibility for treatments that can only be delivered if we know the genetic test result, we were really surprised that the completion rates were low across all children who we order these tests, but it was striking when we looked at racial differences.
What are some of the reasons behind disparities in genetic testing for neurological conditions in children, specifically Black children?
We first just looked at the process by which tests are ordered, and we know that a neurologist has to put in the order when the child comes to see us in clinic. And sometimes there's a process delay where the child has to come back either for another visit or to have the testing done. And in that time, the insurance also is queried to see whether it covers the testing. Looking at each of these processes, we could see that there was a breakdown. Some of it was in the insurance denials, which were much higher in Black patients. But that didn't explain all of the difference. We think there were other racial disparities in access to providers, other unmeasured problems with transportation and getting back to do the actual testing.
Why is this not seen as essential by insurance companies?
Well, the good news is that there's more and more research that's showing that it's very cost-effective to do genetics. The gene test often will give a diagnosis where other much more expensive tests, including imaging studies or metabolic studies, have not been diagnostic of the condition. So I think as we prove that there's cost-effectiveness of this, we'll be able to get more insurance companies to pay.
Now, when we're talking about genetic testing, does this also include the parents? Like, do they have to get the test as well?
For a lot of children that have severe neurologic problems, we really do like to test the parents as well. There's a new concept in understanding what causes developmental disabilities in children, and a lot of those are brand new variants that happen only in the child, And when we can look at the parent's DNA as well, we can clearly identify the new change that's the underlying cause for the child's disability, because that change is only in their DNA.
You work with kids and their families. Before the study, what were they saying broadly to you about their real life experiences having to navigate this?
We know that families who have children, particularly those who have disabilities, are under enormous pressures, not only financially because they have problems holding down jobs when they have children that have complex medical needs, but the cost of the care, the cost of the therapies that they need also make it more challenging. So we're really willing to work with them in whatever way we can to try to make their lives easier. In this case, it means having another resource, another person that they can talk to who can help us get this genetic test for them.
What is Washington University School of Medicine's neurology clinic doing to address this problem locally?
So the good news about the research that we've done in our own clinics here at Washington University is that we recognize that there was a problem in getting the testing for a lot of children, but particularly for the Black population. We've been very proactive in using this information to advocate for more resources in our clinic. We now have a genetic counselor who can help us in identifying other avenues so that families may not need to pay out of pocket for deductibles that they can't afford. And there are workarounds that someone who's very embedded in the field can identify so that we can get testing for people whose insurance may not otherwise cover it.
That was WashU neurology professor Dr. Christina Gurnett speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson about a new study of disparities in genetic testing. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.